We're turning to the Gospel of John and the 21st chapter again this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is appearing to his disciples. And we need to see Jesus this morning. Can I say that? Critical. There was a young preacher that came to a pulpit. And in his early days, he had known the Savior. Before he went to college, he became a learned young fella. He was theologically correct in all that he said and did. And he thought the country congregation that he was gathered needed to know something about theology. And so he began to preach, and he preached away above their heads. And he did this Sunday morning after Sunday morning, Sunday evening after Sunday evening. And the congregation were getting tired because in his earlier days, he used to preach a simple gospel that you had to be saved, but it was above their heads. One Sunday he came to the pulpit, and there was a little note in the pulpit, and it just simply said this: we would see Jesus. And he picked up that little note, touched his heart. He went home, and it brought conviction to him. And he realized that he needed to preach Jesus Christ. So the next Sunday, he went back, and he preached that lovely way, simply pointing men and women to Jesus Christ, the only Savior, preaching about the blood and about the book. And after a couple of Sundays, he got another little note in the pulpit. And it said this: then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And you know, that's what we're all about this morning. That we might see Jesus Christ. And we pray that every one of us, if you're unsaved in this meeting, I know it has been the prayer of God's people back there in the prayer room that you would see Jesus. And if you're saved, we need to see him afresh, don't we? We need to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. And we're turning to John chapter 1. The disciples see Jesus here. And we want to look at this incident here in John chapter 21. We're just going to bow briefly as we seek the Lord's face in prayer. Lord, we come now to thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing of our sister. And, O God, we pray that you'll bless it. Now as we come to your word, Lord, O God, that each one of us, Lord, we might behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We need to see Jesus, Lord. This congregation needs to see Jesus. This preacher needs to see Christ this morning. Or we province, Lord, needs to see afresh Jesus Christ. And, O God, that even today we might know a little stirring amongst us, Lord, a going on in the tops of the mulberry trees. Oh, that today, Lord, the presence of God will be so real that even, Lord, souls will cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Cover us now with the precious blood. Spirit of the living God, fall upon us just now, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're told in John's Gospel, chapter 21, this is the third appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. He has been crucified. He has risen from the dead. And it says in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So it was after the crucifixion and after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note here in this chapter 21, it says there in verse 1, it says, after these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. At the Sea of Tiberias. It's very interesting, you know, to notice the little words in the scripture. Every dot and every tittle. Every dot and every tittle. If I could just show you what a dot is. And we teach Hebrew in the Whitfield College of the Bible, and you would almost need a magnifying glass to see a dot or even a tittle. But the Lord says, not one of these things shall pass away till all be fulfilled. So we need to notice the little things. It says they were at the sea. You've heard the expression. No doubt, at sea. You've heard that expression, at sea. And when somebody says you're all at sea, It means you don't know whether you're coming or whether you're going. You don't know what end of you is up, whether you're upside down or inside out. You're all at sea. You don't really know which or what direction you're headed in. Well, that exactly describes the disciples here. They're all at sea. They don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going. They're at sea physically. They shouldn't really be here at the Sea of Galilee fishing. They shouldn't be here. They're at sea emotionally here because you know something? They have denied and they've forsaken the Lord and all this is fresh in their minds. And they're at sea spiritually because they're not now in fellowship, in communion with the Lord. The fellowship has been broken and they're back at the old life because they're back at fishing. They're back at fishing. The Lord had called them in Matthew's gospel earlier, 3 years earlier in this, and in fact, to leave the nets and to be fishers of men. But here they are in John chapter 21, and they're back fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and they're back in the old life. Can you imagine what they're going through when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to them here? Can you imagine what they're thinking about? Peter, who has denied the Lord with woes and curses, who has forsaken the Savior. I wonder what he had thought. Wonder, did he think, would I ever walk with the Lord again? Would the Lord ever use me in his ministry? Then there's Thomas there. He's there. Those disciples are mentioned in verse 2. There's Simon Peter. There's Thomas. He's the one. You remember him? He's the one. When the Lord appeared on the resurrection evening, remember he gathered in the upper room and they were all huddled together, the disciples, and the Lord appeared to the disciples and Thomas was not there. In fact, it was the evening of that resurrection morning. It was a Sunday evening. And because Thomas was not in that Sunday evening service, he missed the Lord. He had to wait a full week before again he met the Lord. So it's very important to be at an evening service because the Lord could come. And the Lord does come. Last Sunday night at our youth rally, at the end of the youth rally, there's this big fella. He was over 6 foot height and he came up and he was trembling. He was white in color. And he said to me, "Mr. Millen, could you lead me to the Lord?" Shaking. His father's an elder in the Korean church and his three other big brothers and they all stand about 6'8", tower over the top of you. But you know something? God spoke to him and touched his heart and brought him to Jesus Christ. And you know something? You need to be here with Thomas. And can you imagine? And you know, these disciples were going through emotions and feelings and spiritually. They were wondering to themselves, would the Lord ever speak to them again? And I want you to note what happens here in this passage in verse 12. After they've been away fishing all night and had taken nothing, chapter 21, verse 12, Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine. Come and dine." There was somebody in the prayer meeting and they spoke about the invitation of the Lord to come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And here's a come to the disciples, those that have forsaken the Lord. Is there somebody here today? I believe there is. Because I prayed about this. And God has given me this message. There were other messages that perhaps I felt more comfortable with. But the Lord says to me, there's somebody today in the martyr's church, and you know they're not walking well with the Lord, and they've forsaken the Lord. They've got away from the Lord. They're not what they used to be. And they're back at the old life again. Maybe you're back where you were at the very start. And you're not praying the way you ought to pray. And you're not reading the scriptures the way you ought to pray. And you're not living the life the way you ought to live the life. Used to be that you were at the prayer meetings. Used to be that you were at their Sunday evening service. And you wouldn't have missed them for anything. But you know, the weeks have gone by. The days have gone by. The months have gone by. The years have gone by. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? And the Lord says to you, come. Come and dine with me. Come back into fellowship, child of God. Here are seven disciples. We're given the names of some of them. Simon Peter in verse 2. Thomas. There's Nathanael. Then there's the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. We're not given the other names, but that might be you this morning. That might be you. Not what you once were with the Lord. And you know, this is a message. And maybe the devil says to you today that you're finished. That you're on the scrap heap. That you could never be of any good or service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone? Is there someone this morning? Well, there's a word for you today. And I want you to know what it says in verse 4. But when the morning was now come. The morning was come. Isn't that interesting? It's the beginning of a new day, actually. It's the dawning of a new day. And I don't know where you are with the Lord this morning. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again this morning? If you're not, this can be the beginning of a new day for you. Happy day when Jesus washes our sins away. Do you know? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior today? Maybe you are saved today. And you're not living the life. But you would love to be back with the Savior. You know, the Lord says, in the morning, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. And on the morning of this meeting here, Jesus Christ is here to meet with you. And this can be a new day for you. This can be a new experience with the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Let's look at these disciples here who have forsaken the Lord. Who have forsaken the Lord. It says in verse 1 of John's Gospel, chapter 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is exactly the same sea as the Sea of Galilee. Some of us had the privilege of going to the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful sea. Freshwater sea. Full of fish, actually. I can remember a baptism. The River Jordan, of course, flows in, flows out of the Sea of Galilee, and then it flows right down to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, of course, is called the Dead Sea because there's nothing lives in the Dead Sea. No fish. And if you couldn't swim, you could swim in the Dead Sea. You've often seen maybe pictures of people sitting with a newspaper. Because it's full of minerals. And it's very buoyancy. And it's continually evaporating. There's nothing lives in the Dead Sea. And of course the reason why there's nothing lives, it receives everything, but there's no outlet to the Dead Sea. No outlet. Maybe you're a Christian. You used to be alive for Christ. And you're alive today. Why? Because you're not giving out to the Savior. You're not giving out. You're not giving out. You're taking everything in. Used to be you were on fire for God. Used to be you're a soul winner for God. Used to be you were out in the prayer meetings, but today you're far away from God. You will notice here, they're at the Sea of Galilee. That Sea of Galilee actually in the Greek means a circle. This is the same place, if you turn to Matthew chapter 4 with me, this is the same place that Jesus called these disciples. Do you remember their call? Remember the call? And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 4. And you can read verse 18. It says, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, listen to what it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He says, I want you to forsake the nets. And I want you to be involved in another great ministry, a more powerful ministry, winning souls, fishers of men. This is about 3 years before John chapter 21. They're back at the Sea of Galilee, but this time you know something? They're back at the old life. They're back fishing. The Lord had called them. Look at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 4. It says, going on thence, from thence he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed them. So they're to be fishers of men. But now in John chapter 21, what are they doing? They're back to the old life. They've done a complete circle. That's what the Sea of Galilee means actually. They're back at the same place. Their lives have turned a complete circle. Right back where they started. Is that you today? Is that you today, mother? Is that you today? When you got saved, boy, you were on fire for God. You loved this book. You loved the Bible. It was your meat. It was your manna from heaven. And you used to get into it and you used to meditate upon it. And your love for Jesus Christ. Oh, you were on fire. But you know something? You're lukewarm now. You're neither hot nor cold. Isn't that right? Remember the churches in Revelation? Remember the churches that boasted about, one of the churches that boasted about their great works and efforts. The Lord says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What is it? Nevertheless, thou hast left thy first love. I would you were either hot or cold. You know, maybe that's you today. You're back in the old life again. Back where you were. Not in the right place with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've forsaken the Lord today. You know, the Lord says to you today, come and dine with me. And it says in verse 4, when the morning was now come, God speaking to those who have forsaken the Savior today. That's you, young Christian. You have to be at the youth fellowship. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. You teach the Sunday school. Do you know something? You could backslide in the Whitfield College of the Bible. You could. You could get so involved that you leave out those times of intimate communion with the Savior. Where is the blessedness? I knew. When first I saw the Lord, where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? You know what the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 14, verse 14, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. In heart. Mightn't be doing anything wrong. There's nothing really wrong here with fishing, is there? I'm not a fisherman. I don't really like fishing. A lot of people do. You need to have a lot of patience. Nothing wrong with fishing. But you know something? They've really got away from the Lord. They've really got away from the Lord. They've really got away from the Lord. That's the place they were. And you know, who are the people that did this? Who were the people that got away from the Lord? Peter! Simon Peter! Think about him. Sometimes we think that men like Simon Peter would never get away from the Lord. He was one, Simon Peter, and Andrew, and John. Three of the disciples. They were specially privileged disciples. You know, they were the inner circle of the disciples. They were the close. They were the ones that got the great privileges. They were the three that were gathered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, there was 11 disciples. Judas had betrayed the Lord. And then 11 came to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember, 8 only came to the perimeter of the garden. 3 others, Peter, James, and John, they got to the a wee bit further. They got to the inner circle. They got to see Jesus Christ. That's the disciples that have forsaken the Lord here. Sometimes, you know, pride would say to us, Well, you know, that message might be for somebody else, but it's not for me. You know, I'm one of the office bearers. Peter, James, and John, who were with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, who were permitted into the home of Jairus, and the door was shut on the others, and they saw Jairus' daughter raised to life, and they had all these wonderful privileges. And these are the ones that have forsaken the Lord. Thomas. That evening meeting, he wasn't at the evening meeting, but Christ is a wonderful Savior. He's a patient Savior. Thank God he's a patient Savior, because Philip Millen wouldn't be in this pulpit this morning. Can I say that to you? He's such a gracious Savior. Such a wonderful Savior is my Savior. How many times does he forgive us? There's cleansing in the blood today. Hallelujah. And if we come to him, no matter who we are, there's forgiven. They had gone back to their old ways. All the privileges and all the blessings are in the past. What are they doing now? Nothing new. Some of you have remembered the early days of this congregation. Days of blessing. Days of blessing. Days of the right hand of God. Yes, we remember. Remember the mission that they had at Cabra and Ballymoney. A mission Dr. Paisley took. 100 souls saved. Remember the mission in 75 in Ballymena. 400 souls saved. Child of God, we can have those days again. We can have them again. Because our God hasn't changed. Elijah's God still lives today. Hallelujah. And still answers by fire. And when the morning was come, and we're praying for the morning of revival, that's what we're praying for. And we need it, child of God. I need it in Randallstown, can I tell you? I need it in my own soul. And martyrs needs us as well. And I pray that God will bring you a mighty heaven-sent revival. This will be the morning Jesus will come amongst us. You see, these disciples have nothing new. I want you to note here, it says, I want you to note the influence of Simon Peter here. Look what it says in verse 3 of John chapter 21. Simon Peter saith unto them, Simon Peter's got away from the Lord here. He was the leading light, as it were. I go a-fishing, they say unto him. Notice, he makes the suggestion, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. See, in the moment Peter says this, see his influence. When he says, I go a-fishing, the rest say, we'll go with you. That's his influence. Let me say this morning, our denomination used to have a powerful influence in Ulster. We exercised a punch, we carried a punch far above our weight, you know. People used to sit up and listen to this denomination. And they used to, other denominations took their cue from this denomination. I pray that again we'll have an influence for God. And for Christ in Ulster again. But you know the influence that Simon Peter has here? He's taking these disciples away from the Lord. I wonder, what sort of influence do you have? Wife, do you influence your husband to go to the prayer meeting? Mother, you've got little children. What sort of influence do you have on your little children? says, you know, Peter says, I go fishing. It says they went away immediately. They went away. They didn't even think about it. He took them away. Oh, may martyrs again lead Belfast back to Christ. Without considering. And you know something? When you forsake the Lord, here's the outcome, failure. Look at verse 3. It says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship. And that night they caught nothing. There's two words that indicate here what these disciples did. It says, that night they caught nothing. Two words in verse 3. Night and nothing. Night and nothing. They spent a full night and they had nothing to show for it. There was nothing but darkness. Nothing but dreariness. Maybe that's your Christian life today. Life for you as a Christian is just dark and dreary. Not what it used to be. Not what it used to be. Oh, the joy of the Lord filled your heart. You joined to go to the prayer meeting. You joined to come to the house of God. You couldn't wait to a gospel meeting. I can remember the early days. I belonged originally to Coleraine. The late Reverend John Wiley was the preacher there. Boy, he was a fiery boy. He was a fiery man. I tell you, you didn't sleep. He was fiery. Why, what an influence he had on me. But you know something here, these disciples, they've labored all night and night and nothing. Sums them up, caught nothing. And you know there's an emptiness here. There's an empty ship, there's an empty net, there's empty hands, there's empty hearts. And you know a lot of God's people today are empty, just empty. Just empty. Is that you this morning? Boy, you feel empty this day spiritually, don't you? Oh, there's not the joy, not the happiness, not the blessedness that you once knew. And all night they've taken nothing, but I want you to note in verse 4, but when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. What a gracious Savior. You know, when we remain faithless, He is always faithful. He's always there for you. He's always there for you. When you turn to Him, He's always there for you. You don't deserve it. We deserve nothing, actually. But He's a merciful, gracious Savior. And He comes to these disciples who had failed the Lord, who had forsaken the Lord, who had nothing to show. And it says in verse 4, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They've got so far away from the Lord, He didn't recognize them. Can I say something this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ is here. But how many of God's people come to the house of God today and they don't really know it? And this could be the beginning of a new day if you meet the Lord. I pray that you do. I want you to note what happens here. I want you to note the compassion of the Savior. Look with me at verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? Have you anything for me? You know, one day we're going to go home to glory. And one day we're going to stand before Jesus and He's going to ask us the question, do you have anything for me? Have you got anything to give to the Savior today? Mother, what about your children? On the day when you stand with Jesus Christ and look into His face and your children turn around and say, my mother never prayed for me. My father never brought me to the meetings. Notice how gracious Christ comes. He says, children. Verse 5, He says, children. No words of condemnation. No words of judgment, no words of harshness, just gentleness. Children, what a marvelous, gracious, compassionate, tender Savior. He spoke with words of kindness and words of love. Children. Sometimes, you know, when we get away from the Lord, we think, well, you know, am I really saved at all? Then there's erroneous doctrines come in and say, well, you know, if you backslide, you're lost. Not according to the Scriptures. It might break your fellowship, your life. But it doesn't break your relationship. If you're a child of His, you're still a son. You know, I have children, when they do things in me, you feel like doing a whole lot of things to them. I hear some fathers say, get out, son, you'll never be back in this home again. That's wrong. Can I say that's wrong? Always keep the door open. When the prodigal returned, the father opened the door and opened his heart. Children, you're always a child. Once you're saved, you're always a child. You're always a child. Always born again, washed in the blood. That's your relationship. You might be out of fellowship. And they asked the Lord, and the Lord asked them, have you any meat? They answered no. They answered no. And the Lord would challenge us this morning, what have you got? What about your prayer life? What about your Bible study? You used to surrender your Lord continually to the Lord. I surrender all. Oh, we remember the conventions here. Thank God we're having again another convention in the martyrs. Scores of young people down through the years, you know, surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. They did. And they went out in service, whether to be missionaries or whether to be preachers of the gospel. Then the Lord says something to them in verse 6. He has compassion on them, but He challenges them in verse 6. He said on them, cast a net on the right side of the ship. What a challenge that is. Do you know they could turn around and say, we've fished all night. People say to me, you know, Ulster's hard. Belfast hard. You know, the area's hard. I want to tell you something. If we get the nets out, God will bring the fish in. This is the same sea here. They toiled all night, taking nothing. Same sea. He says, go out again, cast the nets on the right side. You know what that requires? That requires faith. Trust in Jesus Christ. Do you believe Him today? I believe He can send revival again. You know He can. And they can send it to the martyrs, Free Presbyterian Church. Do you know we need faith today? We've lost our confidence in Christ. We're looking to this thing and that thing and the other thing. Do you think my Christ is able today? He's able. Hallelujah. He's able. He is able. Hallelujah. He is able to do it again. What He did in 1859. What He did in the 20s in Belfast. What He did in the early days of this denomination. He can do again, you know. What He did in the martyrs. He can do again. But we need to trust Him today. You know, I was just reading about George Miller. Time's gone. George Miller. He was the great man of Bristol who set up the orphanages. Thousands of children were housed, were fed, were watered, were cared for. And you know something? He had great faith, George Miller. He just prayed the thing in. He didn't make any appeals at all. He just prayed it in. He just believed that God was the Father of the fatherless. That was a verse of Scripture that he quoted often. When he was 70 or over it, he went on an evangelistic crusade. He did. No retirement with George Miller. And he went across the world. One day, he was in Newfoundland, Canada, and George Miller was on board a ship that was taking him to a preaching engagement in Quebec. He was up on the bridge of the ship to speak to the captain that he was sailing to go to Quebec. And he said he had to be in Quebec by Saturday night. The captain said to him, you know, that's impossible, George. He says, don't you see this fog all around us? It's so dense we can't move. They could hardly see their noses in front of them. George Miller spoke to the captain, said, very well. He says, if your ship cannot take me to, to Quebec. God has some other way to take me to Quebec. He says, I have never broken an engagement in 57 years with God. And he says, let's go down into your room and let's have a little prayer meeting. The captain looked at George Miller, thought to himself, George Miller's a lunatic. He never heard of such a request to go down and pray. The captain spoke to George Miller, do you realize how dense the fog is, George? No, replied George Miller. My eye is not on the density of the fog, but my eye is on the living God, who controls every circumstance of my life. And they go down in the captain's room to prayer. And George Miller just opened his mouth and he prayed simply and he prayed believingly that God would take him to Quebec. The captain was going to pray and George Miller put his hand on his shoulder. He says, you're not going to pray. And he says, you're not going to pray because you don't believe that God could lift the fog. And he says, I want to tell you something. God has answered my prayer and God has removed the fog. And he took the captain up on to the deck of the ship. And he says, you know, for 57 years, there's never been a single day that my God has failed to give me an audience with him. Get up, captain. Open the doors. The captain got up and George Miller got out and they looked out and the fog was gone. George Miller kept his engagement, his preaching engagement at Quebec. And for this simple reason, child of God, he got faith. Do you know, Dr. Paisley was a great man of faith. And you know something? He said, cast the net on the right side and you shall find out what happened when they cast. So many. Child of God, he's still the same. He's our God. The God of George Miller. The God that brought in a great catch to these disciples. Still the same. Hasn't changed. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Maybe you've got away from God. You need to get back into fellowship with him. You know, he asked them, had you got anything? The Lord knew rightly they had nothing. It's like, you know, when you're a child in school, the teacher says to you, there's a big map of the world up in front of you. Teacher says, where's France? Teacher knows where France is. Just finding out, do you know where France is? The Lord knew, the Lord knows you today. But this can be a new day for you. Because the same Savior. I'll tell you what he did. He gave Peter a new commission. He sent him out to be a fisher of men again. And God can do the same with you today. Will you go? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today, friends? Maybe you're not saved. You need to get right with Jesus Christ. May God bless his word.